Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 19, Chapter 20. Pali Maharaj surrenders the universe, and we're going to start with text 1. We have the summary here. I'm just going to read the first paragraph of the summary, which is a summary of the summary. That way, you'll get the summary of the summary. The summary of the 20th chapter is as follows. Despite his knowledge that Lord Vamanadeva was cheating him, Pali Maharaj gave everything to the Lord in charity. Thus the Lord extended his body and assumed a gigantic form as Lord Vishnu. Any questions about that? Okay, now we'll read the first. Now we have surrenders the universe. Now we have another 34 verses to find out some of the details. Shri Shuguvacha. Balir evam grihapati kulacharyena bhashitaha tushnim budva shanam rajan uvacha vahito gurum shri shugavacha. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, Bali Maharaj, evam, thus, Grihapati, the master of the household affairs, although guided by the priests, Kula Acharyena, by the family Acharya or guide. Pasitaha, being thus addressed. Tushnim, silent. Bhutva, becoming. Shanam, for a moment. Rajan, O king. Maharaj Parikshit. Uvacha, said, Vahita, after full deliberation, Gurum, unto his spiritual master. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, yes, O King Parikshit, when Bali Maharaj was thus advised by his spiritual master, Shukracharya, his family priest, remained silent for some time, and then, after full deliberation, replied to his spiritual master as follows. Purport, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that Bali Maharaj remained silent at a critical point. How could he disobey the instruction of Shukracharya, his spiritual master? Is the duty of such a sober personality as Bali Maharaj to abide by the orders of his spiritual master immediately, as his spiritual master had advised? But Bali Maharaj also considered that Shukracharya was no longer to be accepted as a spiritual master, for he had deviated from the duty of his spiritual master. According to Shastra, the duty of the guru is to take his disciple back home, back to Godhead. If he is unable to do so, and instead hinders the disciple in going back to Godhead, he should not be a guru. Gurur Nasasyat, Bhagavatam 5.5.18. One should not become a guru if he cannot enable his disciple to advance in Krishna consciousness. The goal of life is to become a devotee of Lord Krishna so that one may be freed from the bondage of material existence. Tyaktva deham panarjanma naiti mam eti sorjana. The spiritual master helps the disciple attain this stage by developing Krishna consciousness. Now Shukracharya had advised Bali Maharaj to deny the promise to Vamanadeva. Under the circumstances, therefore, Bali Maharaj thought There would be no fault if he disobeyed the order of his spiritual master. He deliberated on this point. Should he refuse to accept the advice of his spiritual master, or should he be independently do everything to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He took some time. Therefore it is said, Tushnim Bhutva Shanam Rajan Uvatavahito Gurum. After deliberating on this point, he decided that Lord Vishnu should be pleased in all circumstances, even at the risk of ignoring the guru's advice to the contrary. Anyone who is supposed to be a guru, who goes against the principles of Vishnu Bhakti, cannot be accepted as a guru. If one has falsely accepted such a guru, one should reject him. Such a guru is described as follows in the Mahabharata. Guru-rap-yava-liptasya karya-karyam-ajanata utpata-pratipannasya paritya-go-vidyate. Srila Jiva Goswami has advised that such a useless guru, a family priest acting as a guru, should be given up, and that the proper bona fide guru should be accepted. Sat karma vipano vipro mantra tantra visharada avaishnavo guru nasyat vaishnava svapacho guru. A scholarly Brahmin expert in all subjects of Vedic knowledge is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnav. But if a person born in a family of lower caste is a Vaishnav, he can become a spiritual master. Padma Purana. So guru means, in Sanskrit, means heavy, as opposed to lagu. And heavy means, in this particular case, heavy with knowledge. And ultimately, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yomam evam asamudo janati purushottama sasarvavit bhajantemam sarabhavena bharata. One who understands me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore he engages himself in full devotional service. Iti guyatamam shastram idam yuktva maya naga. That this is the most confidential part of all Vedic knowledge, and whoever understands it will become wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. Iti guyatama shastram idam yuktva maya naga. What's the next one? We've become wise. Itva bhutva buddhimat syat krita kritascha bharata. So, let me repeat that once again. Iti guyatama shastram idam yuktva maya naga. What's the next word? What's that? Etat budva budimatsya. It still doesn't make any sense to me. So that's chapter 8. Oh, budva. Yes. So, Iti guyatama shastram idam yuktva mayanaga etat budva budimatsyat krita kritaschavarata. Anyone who understands, this is the most confidential part of all the Vedic knowledge, and whoever understands this will become wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. In other words, to know Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the perfection of all study, all sacrifice, all endeavors. The whole idea is to meet Krishna and revive our relationship with him. And therefore, Krishna sends help. Actually, everyone in this material world is helping us revive our relationship with Krishna, either directly or indirectly. Because everyone is a little tiny soul in a material body. Some bodies are bigger than others, but we're all simply little tiny souls and bodies. And every body is directed by Krishna, either directly or indirectly. Directly means through his spiritual energy, and indirectly means through his material energy. In any case, Krishna ultimately is in control of both energies. And therefore, whoever we meet is actually representative of Krishna, either to give us reactions to our previous sinful activities or to help inspire us to become Krishna conscious. Sinful or pious activities, but sinful and or pious activities, they're very similar because they're all based upon forgetfulness of Krishna to some degree or another. Pious activities means forgetfulness of Krishna, but in a good way. Not knowing Krishna fully, but at least knowing that Krishna is there. But in the spiritual energy, then that's directly serving Krishna. So Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, they're all supposed to be representatives of Krishna. And indeed, there are many varieties of Guru. As Maharaj Yashovdev said, Guru nasasyat, swajano nasasyat, pita nasasyat, swajano nasasyat. That one should not become a father, one should not become a father, one should not become a mother, one should not become a worshipful deity, one should not become a husband, unless one is prepared to deliver one's relatives or one's associates from the path of birth and death. In other words, every single authority in this world has a duty to help, in some way or another, those that they have authority over progress in Krishna consciousness. And indeed, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amar Aga Guruhana Tari Desh. That whoever we meet, then we should try to help them become Krishna conscious. That's our only duty. That's our only relationship. Now that may sound a little boring, that I only have one relationship with everyone to help them become Krishna conscious. But there's so many ways of doing it. But ultimately, unless we're have that mentality, whatever we're doing is bad for us, because it'll put us more in illusion. And it's bad for the person that we're dealing with. We're not really helping them by maintaining their illusion, by their bodily and mental identifications, or even intellectual identifications, or their false ego. We're not really helping them get out of birth and death, which is the only purpose of human form of life. Now, we may think, well, you know, how can a mother be a guru? How can the father be a guru? How can the relative guru nasyasyat swajano swanasyasyat pita nasyasyat? Oh, how can the husband be a guru? How can a very influential person, daiva means people who have great influence, how can they be guru? We have one guru, our Diksha guru, and he's our guru, and we follow him, and the others, we have a license to ignore them because they're not guru. So that kind of mentality means that we don't understand what the service of guru is. We don't even understand what guru is. We don't understand that whoever we meet, we're coming in contact with Krishna. And if we carry the orders of the disciples' succession, the vision that Krishna gave in Bhagavad Gita, because ultimately all gurus are dependent upon Krishna. One cannot be guru in any way, whether a mother or a father or an important person in society or a husband or a relative, unless they're in contact with Krishna and they know what Krishna wants them to do and what they want them to say to help their dependents make progress in Krishna consciousness. Anyone who's not doing that is wasting their time, not only wasting their time, they may be wasting billions and trillions of years of people's time. That they got the human form of life, and they're being trained to become a cat or a dog in their next lifetime. But out of the different kinds of gurus, those who are acting as a representative of Krishna in disciples of succession, even amongst them there's variety. But because the order of Krishna, if they're speaking the order of Krishna, then they're considered to be one. But still there's variety. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that Shiksha Guru Ke Ta Krishna Swarup Antaryami Bhakta Shresta Eduri Rup. That the Shiksha Guru, he said to be a representative of Krishna. Shiksha Guru Ke Ta Jani Krishna Swarup Antaryami, the Supersoul, Bhakta Shresta, and the best of the devotees, Eduru Rup. This is how Krishna appears. But then Prabhupada writes in the purport, there are two kinds of Shiksha Gurus. The one who's actually situated in transcendence, and he's experiencing pure Krishna consciousness. Therefore he knows, if he asks Krishna, what should I do? Then Krishna tells him exactly what he should do. Matter of fact, he's the perfect instrument for Krishna to spread Krishna consciousness. And there are others who are not on that level, but they have experience because they've surrendered to one degree or another, and therefore they can help raise those who are following them at least to their level. But then Prabhupada writes, the Acharya, in the true sense of the term, who is authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches the disciple with full spiritual knowledge and thus awakens him to the activities of devotional service. So there are actually activities on the spiritual platform. There are activities of the soul. But first we have to find out, we have to become aware of our soul before we can. But even we perform the activities externally of sadhana bhakti, that means that the soul is actually being engaged in the activities of devotional service. As much as the soul is surrendered and absorbing his mind with care and attention in the activities of devotional service, then the soul is engaged by his desires in pure devotional service, and Krishna reveals himself when it comes under the spiritual energy, Ladini Shakti, Chit Shakti, and one can experience what Krishna consciousness is. One can experience the sweetness of pure devotional service. Srimati Radharani, her associates, Krishna and his associates, they're unlimitedly sweet, and if we get a little bit of transcendental sweetness, then we get some idea of what devotional service is really about. It's about exchange of sweetness. Therefore, as much as we can understand that, as much as we realize that, as much as we convey it, as much as we can understand, to that extent we become instruments of Krishna. Now, on the other hand, everything depends upon faith. In the Vedic culture, people had faith. They had faith in their father, they had faith in their mother, they had faith in their husband, they had faith in their relatives, they had faith in important people in society, because the faith was earned. Because their father was actually a product of training by his father, etc. All the people in the Vedic culture, more or less most of them in civilized society, understood their duty to help people become Krishna conscious, to make progress towards that goal. And of course nowadays, the whole society is in ignorance. Practically speaking, 99.9% of the people are totally unaware of what their actual interest is and what their duty is. They think their duty is to make money and enjoy their senses. And that's it. They're more or less animals, or less than animals. Therefore, most people are disappointed. Because they're not being trained up how to become happy and peaceful. They're being advertised that if you get a good education and get a good job, then you can get all the opportunities for sense gratification. And by immersing yourself in sense gratification, you'll become happy. And people do that. They go through the whole process of trying to get the best job, the most money, and get the most sense gratification, and they wind up miserable. They wind up joining the Hare Krishna movement. Because it didn't work. Those who have some intelligence. Otherwise, they just suffer silently. Thinking everyone else is happy and that I'm actually the only one who's not happy. As a matter of fact, in America at least, the day when most people commit suicide is on Christmas Eve. To celebrate their Savior. That's because they're thinking, I'm miserable, no one loves me, but everyone else is happy with their family, and I'm the only one here suffering. They think, well, what's the use of my life to suffer? But actually everyone's suffering because either consciously or unconsciously, if they drown out their miseries enough with intoxication, then maybe they're not aware of their suffering. But everyone is suffering to one degree or another because the soul is more or less not doing what it's supposed to be doing. If you were put into a room and you couldn't move, yeah, all the blinds were shut. There was nothing going on. After a while, you get a little bit frustrated. So because there's nothing going on in most people's lives spiritually, it seems like a whole waste of time. They try this and they try that and nothing happens. And all their authorities, all their movie stars and sports heroes, they're more miserable than they are. So it's not the secret of success. They achieve their dream to get more money and more prestige, whatever else, than anyone else, and they're still more miserable than anyone else. They can't even maintain a relationship with anyone else. Therefore, faith in the words of Krishna is there, and therefore there's some system, like initiation, but the job of the guru and initiation is to train the disciples to discover who their other gurus are. Who else is repeating the same message, coming into simple succession, and how to properly serve those personalities, because by serving them, the message, it also includes serving the personalities, not just the message. Not that the messenger comes, and you say, thanks a lot, but you appreciate the messenger also, because otherwise he's kind enough to deliver the message. If someone, the postman comes and has €1 million in the letter, you're happy to see the postman. Because he's giving you something valuable. You don't take the letter and then kick the postman in the butt. Get out of here. No, you appreciate he gave you something valuable. So similarly, it's the job of our business is bhakti. Spreading love and faith in the process of bhakti, and therefore the business of everyone, whether initiating guru or shiksha guru or father or mother, or whatever, is spread the appreciation for those who are giving the message of Krishna. Now, on the other hand, we shouldn't appreciate when they're not giving the message of Krishna. Therefore, one should also know from Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literature what is the qualities of a devotee. And what is the message of Krishna? Not that my shiksha guru is smoking cigarettes and there must be some devotional quality to it that I've yet to discover. He gives fantastic classes. He leads great kirtans. He just cools himself off a little bit with cigarettes. So maybe I should follow his example. the flesh, what is it? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. No, one should be able to see the good qualities, how one is engaged in devotional service, but at the same time, not imitate things that are deviating from the standard of pure devotional service. Therefore, Haridas Thakur told, Sanatana Goswami told Haridas Thakur, some people follow them very strictly, but they don't preach. And others preach very nicely, but they don't follow so strictly. But you're the best because you follow strictly and you also preach. So our example, our standard, is not that Prabhupada's the only devotee in our society or the only devotee better than we are or more advanced than we are, but our standard is Srila Prabhupada. How he spread Krishna consciousness, how he did, mainly how he knew, how he's convinced that there is no difference between Krishna and his name, and that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how he spent his entire existence trying to distribute Krishna consciousness to others. He knew his identity was that a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, and he spent all his time, everything he did, everything he said, was meant to help people realize that also. Through chanting the holy name offenselessly, realizing that there's no difference between Krishna and his holy name. So, anyone who can help us realize those three things, that there's no difference between Krishna and his name, anyone who's dedicated fully, well, anyone who is trying to help others realize that they're servants of the servants of Krishna, and who's dedicating their lives to distributing this knowledge to others, they can be accepted as guru. And then Prabhupada also writes that they're strictly following the rules and regulations, which is a symptom of the fact that they accept themselves as a servant of the servant of Krishna. And they're always chanting at least the prescribed number of rounds, which means that they've accepted that to some extent or another, that Krishna's name are non-different. And they're always trying to figure out, trying to think about how to spread Krishna consciousness to others. That's their only business. So such a person should be accepted as a spiritual master, but that doesn't mean that his superiors give him, they're his superiors, they're supposed to ascertain to what degree the resources that he's receiving on behalf of those who are following him, they should be overseen, how they're utilized. Otherwise, if one is not on the highest level and is given too much resources, one may misuse them and get into difficulty. Therefore, the standard again is one should, as it says, that one should accept an Uttama Adhikari as one's spiritual master. So it should be understood that Prabhupada is that Uttama Adhikari that everyone should accept as a spiritual master. Not blindly, but because his teachings pervade our society, and that whatever benefit any one of us get is because we're following those teachings. And because we follow those teachings, therefore we should accept, we understand those who follow those teachings gradually realize how Prabhupada was the perfect instrument for Krishna. And therefore in that way they're gradually accepting Prabhupada as the Uttama Adhikari. And if someone thinks that they're going to become an Uttama Adhikari without following Prabhupada, then we have to who are you following? Then you may try to follow someone else to become an Uttama Adhikari, the topmost devotee, but then you're in the wrong movement, that's all. There are many other Vaishnavas, there are other movements, and you should join them. But as far as effectively spreading Krishna consciousness around the world, no one was as effective and as efficient as Prabhupada. On the other hand, we ourselves have not been as effective as Prabhupada, nor as efficient as Prabhupada. And therefore we should be a little humble and realize that if there's any problem, it's not due to the fact that we haven't, figured out how to manage better. although that may be a problem too, that the real problem is we're not taking shelter of Prabhupada. So the more we take shelter of him, eternally, at least within this existence, then the more we'll advance in Krishna consciousness, because he was actually situated in pure Krishna consciousness, and he's our link to the disciple succession of all the other acharyas, going back all the way to the six Goswamis and to the Panchatattva, and getting their mercy of feeling separation. It's possible to do it without Srila Prabhupada, but as far as spreading a worldwide movement, which is part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, no one has shown it to the degree that Prabhupada has, and therefore the best chance of going back to Godhead and getting the full mercy is to take shelter of Prabhupada and his instructions and see how they're manifest in the activities of his followers and how they're manifest in the instructions of his followers too, and know that they're actually instruments for Prabhupada and for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his mission. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for lecture. I was wondering, this I understood, or at least my understanding is somehow avad.
Avaduta. No, you're wrong. Yeah. Well, they may be an avaduta, but that's not the symptom of an uttamadhikari, is there an avaduta? No, uttamadhikari is, as I said, one who strictly follows all the rules and regulations. One is a servant of Krishna. One has realized that I'm nothing but a servant of the servant of Krishna. One who has realized Krishna in this age, that there's no difference between Krishna and his name. One who's dedicated his life completely to spreading Krishna consciousness. That's an uttamadhikari. That's how you can tell who's an uttamadhikari.
Yeah, in my head, it was like, at that level, they don't see only the souls, only the best thing.
You mean they embrace the tiger, they embrace the elephant? No, they may be on that, manifest themselves like that. That's what Krishna's desire is. Because that's also possible. But they may manifest themselves as Srila Prabhupada. He didn't embrace tigers or lions. He came down to the second class platform to preach Krishna consciousness perfectly. So they're perfect instruments of Krishna. They see like that, but they also, it's not that they don't see men and women. They also see that there's bodies called men bodies and women bodies. They don't think, oh, they don't see the body, they only see they see everything, but in perspective. Sugadeva Goswami was walking along after he came out of the womb of his mother, and he was a self-realized soul, so he passed by ladies who were naked bathing in the lake or the river, and they didn't cover themselves because they realized that he was innocent, and he didn't differentiate between men and women. But then when his father, who was on the same level, passed by, they all covered themselves. So Vyasadeva said, well, why do you cover yourself? You know, I'm on the same level as my son. I'm also a liberated soul. But they said, no, you're a householder. Householders have to discriminate between men and women. Otherwise, how can they be a householder? Anything else? Yes.
There are many cases when devotees need to live with authorities which are not Krishna conscious. So what?
Really? What authorities are not Krishna conscious?
Like father, mother, husband.
Well, it's, to some extent, they must be Krishna conscious if they're human beings. You have to see to what degree they're Krishna conscious. Everyone is Krishna conscious. Otherwise, you know, they're... Jesus Christ came, Lord Muhammad came to make civilization human, and some aspect is still there. But anyhow, what's your question?
If you can give some guidelines how to associate with without Because they are not, they are false gurus, but still you have
to... I don't think necessarily they're claiming that they're a guru. They're claiming that you're authority, they're your authority, and they taught you something. You know, how to be a human being, at least, to some degree. So you respect them. Sanatana Goswami, when he was trying to become hearing from the Brahmins, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Nawab Hussein Shah, who wasn't a pure devotee, came. But Sanatana Goswami offered him all respect because he was the king, representative of Krishna. So we have to learn how to offer respect. Prahlad Maharaj offered respect to Hiranyakashipu. So we have to try to be in harmony, maintain our relationship with our Prabhupada, our disciples' succession, our spiritual master, maintain our position as their servant, and try to be in harmony with the people that we come in contact, including our father. Of course, if he tells you, you know, do this, then it's not Krishna conscious. You shake your head and say, yes, 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 of course. And then you don't do it, that's all. But better not to get into conflict. Anything else?
There's some questions from Avadhuta Rai Prabhu. Some say when one gets the mercy of Guru, there is no more need for great endeavor in doing sadhana. Is that true?
No, it's ridiculous. That's the mercy of the gurus, that you get more enthusiastic about your sadhana. When you actually see that the Panchatattva are there, they're persons. You want to get up before anyone else so you can see them first. You can do some service to them. Get more enthusiastic, not less. Anything else?
One more. How can a Kanishta or Madhyama Bhakta recognize an Uttama Adhikari who even doesn't want to preach because sees everyone as a devotee?
Kanishta Adhikari has a hard time understanding very much because they're Kanishta Adhikaris. But a Madhyama Adhikari has some discrimination. He might be able to understand by Shastra, by some experience. Kanishta Adhikari is not very clear on Shastra and doesn't have much experience usually on the spiritual platform. So he'll have a hard time. The Madhyama Adhikari will have an easier time if he utilizes Guru Sadhana and Shastra to discriminate. Anything else? Kuala Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.